This morning, I want to talk about the kingdom of God. Before we get there, I just want to see if there's more people like myself in the house who's got some issues with idols in their lives. I want to see if there are people in this house as runners. You run. There's one guy. I guess everyone, there's someone there. You just love running. I'm all about donkey. You're a runner. You guys know what runners are? It's people that exercise, they run. Okay, there's some cyclists in the house. They're all cycling. Some of the runners are probably all running as well. But I was one of those guys who, I still love my running. I've got this love-hate relationship with running. We hate one another when we have to get up and we start, but when we finish, it's good. You know, the endorphins kick in and you like it. And the challenge with me was that, and I think there's a lot of people that will relate with that, you've got this thing in your life that, like for me with running, there was a time in my life when I was younger and I was fitter that I couldn't live without it. Can somebody relate with that? Albert, are you like that? Not that anymore, but you were. You're much older and wiser now. You're still like that. Okay, I'm glad there's someone else who's got an idol in his life. But it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing in my life. And it was as if I felt a little bit depressed or, just disappointed in myself when I didn't get on the road, when I couldn't get up in the morning or in the evenings, put on my tackies and get out there and build up a sweat. And I know there's a lot of people that can relate with that. Maybe there's some of you guys that's a bit lazier and you can't relate with that example. But that's why I try to figure out, is there people that cycle? Is there people that go to the gym? Can we try and figure that out? This isn't really a fit church, is it? We will have to work on some idols in our lives. Pardon? They love food. Okay, we can go there as well. Is there people that love food? Okay, awesome. Okay, good. So there's a few people that run, and a lot of people that love food. I love food as well. And the thing that I want to come at is that I think I've been delivered in a sense from that addiction to my running. I'm getting back into it now that the sun is shining again, but I don't feel condemned or depressed or frustrated when I don't hit the road. But there's many things in our lives that cause that in us. Is if it's not food or running or cycling, all of us have something in our lives that we have this dependency relationship upon it. For some people, it's technology. If you haven't checked your Twitter, your Facebook, or whatever it is, you've got to get your fix for the day. And there's it's true when John Calvin, I think he said it. He said that our hearts are idol factories. Anything in our lives can become an idol. And I don't want to talk about idols today. I'm going to mention it a little bit. But I feel God is dealing with stuff in our lives. But I do want to talk about the kingdom of God. And already this morning it was mentioned three times in my presence. While me and Vainan did intercession, we prayed about the kingdom. When Mac came up, he talked about the kingdom of God. Marcus said something about the kingdom of God. We sang about the kingdom of God. As I was preparing, I just did a search and I saw in the book of Matthew, it talks about the kingdom of God more than 40 times there. I think Jesus referred to the kingdom of God so many times. That was one of the first things that he says is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we have to remember that for one kingdom to come, another kingdom must go. And for me, maybe it was a silly example starting off this morning, and I could have made my intro a little bit better. But for me, running is part of this kingdom. I don't know if we're going to run in heaven as well. Maybe we will. I don't know. I don't know if we will sweat and smell and... But in this kingdom, there's so many things that we take, good things, that we take and that we make the center of attention in our lives. Our hearts take something. It's our sinful flesh. It's the way that we've been born into this world. And we naturally gravitate to stuff that give us comfort. We are all comfort seekers. If not, please get off your chair and lie on the floor. I'm kidding. Don't do that. But that's why we pack our chairs. We don't want to sit on the floor. That's why we dress nicely. We want to look good. We want to feel good. When we go home, this morning I had a bakpronitro. Okay, it was good for me. It's giving me comfort at the moment in my stomach. But I'm looking forward to lunch. Because Sunday lunch is good. Sunday lunch epitomizes. I love it when English words just come to me like that. It epitomizes our comfort zone. We love comfort. But that's the challenge as well. Because when we come into the kingdom of God, Jesus challenged us to get rid of a lot of comfort in our lives. I don't think Jesus had a problem with comfort. But many times that comfort in our lives, when it becomes the center in our lives, it causes us to be distracted from the things of the kingdom. Somebody wrote that the moment, and she was talking about celebrities, the moment that a person, she actually said the minute, because then it sounded better, the minute a celebrity, a person becomes a celebrity, is the same minute they become a monster. Okay? And they were obviously talking about people that don't know Jesus, because I think there's a lot of celebrities in our midst as well. And Jesus, help us with that. But we see that. We see that people who become famous have a hard time to maintain who they are. They have a hard time to maintain their personality. And you know, what's his name? The pop star, the young guy, Justin Bieber. And then you know the other ones. What's the one that's now in the news? Miley Cyrus. Okay. I'm not going to say they were. They probably still are good people. But there's a time that they were better. And it's as if the moment they moved up in the ranks of celebrity status, it started to destroy them. And the reason for that is simply that a human being is never supposed to be a superior being. And that's what happens with celebrities. They become superior beings. And people start to worship them. People start to idolize them. And God, the Creator, did not create us to be worshipped. God is the only being that can be worshipped and that is worthy to be worshipped. I honestly don't know how the celebrities, the Justin Biebers of this world, handle all the screaming and the young girls. I've got a little girl that is 3 years old and a little boy that is 5 years old. And they drive me nuts with their screaming. And I share the screaming with my wife. So how one person can receive all that screaming and attention, it blows my mind. Really. I just think they should get kids. But that's the challenge that all of us face, is that we have not been made to be worshipped, but we have been made to worship. So we are worshippers. That's what God has called us for. And in the kingdom of God, the first thing that Jesus teaches us is to worship God. He calls us and he says, we must worship God. I want to quickly read you a scripture here from Matthew 6, verse 9 to 10. It says, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't know who of you have stopped with that verse and asked yourself, okay, but what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? And that is a question I'm not going to answer today, because it is huge, it is big. Jesus came and he said, listen, I come and I represent the kingdom, and I come and teach you about the values of the kingdom of God. There's so many things of the kingdom of God that Christ has come to show us. He said, listen, I am here, the kingdom is near. I am the king of this kingdom, and I am representing the kingdom to you, the people of this earthly kingdom. And for my kingdom to come, this earthly kingdom must be displaced. In Matthew 4, verse 17, we read, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We'll talk about repentance in just a moment. In Matthew 4, verse 23, we read, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So I think it is safe to say the kingdom of God is a healthy place. Because Jesus, the moment Jesus steps into people's lives, he brings that character of healing with him. Matthew 5 verse 3, we read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 5 verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. 6 verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the Bible talks about the kingdom a lot. And that's what we pray. We pray, Jesus, let your kingdom come in our lives and let your kingdom come through our lives. That is why we are here. That is why we come together like this, is to experience the kingdom of God as a family. To say, Holy Spirit, let your kingdom come in my life and let it come through my life. Use me as a vessel to let the kingdom of God, the goodness of God, the virtue of God, the character of God manifest in this world, the same as it manifests in heaven. In Revelations, we read about heaven. Revelations 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open. Where? In heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes and all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I obviously can't say it the way they say it. But it must sound scary. It must sound awesome when those beings worship God and they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. One of the things that we see in heaven is in heaven there will be worship. And I believe that worship will be so natural in heaven as it is natural for us to breathe today. I don't know if you are still as fallen as I am many times, but I thought about it. It's great to read it, but there's something in my inside that goes like, are we going to worship all the time? I mean, won't the band get tired? And won't my arms get tired? Are we going to worship all the time? Have some of you thought like that, or I'm the only? Okay? Because I don't have the revelation of the worship that takes place in heaven. We know it's going to be awesome. We know in our glorified state, we will be worshipers. It will be naturally for us. We won't smell the guy next to us. We will worship God, and it will be awesome. It will be natural to us. But what I want to say today is, if we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we pray, Lord, make us worshipers, and let us be worshipers on earth as it is in heaven. With worship not just meaning singing, living, everything that we do. So that is what we pray as well. We say, Lord, let that characteristic of heaven be manifest in our lives here on earth. Help us to be worshipers, Lord. Let your kingdom come in my life through worship. And let your kingdom come through my life, Lord, through worship. Assist me with that. Holy Spirit, come and help me with that. I haven't read any of C.S. Lewis's books when I was a kid. But now that my son is around about 5, we're reading The Musicians. The Magicians. The Magician's Nephew. Who of you have read that? Okay. But I only read chapters here and there, so I still don't get the full story, because my wife read a little bit, and then the babysitter, and then, so, but I was fortunate to read one of the chapters where Aslan, and for you who don't know, C.S. Lewis was a reborn Christian, and he wrote these stories as parables, is that the word, pictures of the Bible, just in adventurous ways. And for me, one of the things that's so beautiful in that book is Aslan, who represents Jesus, actually, who represents the king, the lion. He is creating Narnia. Did you know that? So if you've watched the movies and you don't know where Narnia comes from, go and read that book, then you understand. And the way he does it is, he walks to and fro an empty land, and he sings. And as he sings, things are being created. You know, and our God speaks. He said, let there be light. He spoke things into being. And for me, it's just such a beautiful picture of the power in our worship as well. When we worship God, there's obviously things in our lives that happen. There's a change that takes place in our lives. There's things that shift. It brings us into a place where the Holy Spirit comes and enables us to do amazing things. To change this earthly kingdom for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of God. And the definition of worship on this side of life is simply anything or anyone or any thought or any experience or object or cause or case to which we as people give our energy, our time, our thoughts, our emotions, our money, and our focus. Did you agree with me? When we give those things to something or someone, we worship them. That's why I'm saying there's so many idols to which we can give that. And we're going to get practical at the end, because we want to identify some idols in our lives today that God wants to show us that is distracting us from worshiping the true and only King. And the reason we need to identify those things in our lives is not because I needed to do something this morning. It's not for you to do something this morning. It's not for you guys to feel condemned and sinful. It is because we have a mission on this side of life to let the kingdom of God come. And we are supposed to let this kingdom come more and more effective. And what I have found in my life, when my idols, good stuff in my life that has become ultimate stuff, when I give them that leeway in my life, and I start worshiping them in a sense with my time and my energy and my thoughts and my money, I start focusing less and less on my worship towards my King. And someone said that idols always overpromise and underdeliver. They always say, listen, I've got something that will make you feel better. I got something that will make you look better. I've got something that will make you feel powerful or successful. I've got something that will make you feel loved. It always overpromises and it underdelivers. It's good things that become ultimate things. And God is challenging with us. He says, I am a jealous God. I want your worship. And there's a spin-off in that. I found in my life that the times that I struggle to hear the voice of the Lord is the times that my attention is not focused in worship on my God. It's the times, and we say that to one another, you must read your Bible more, you must pray more, you must come to church more. And it's true. But for what? I must worship my God through those disciplines. And when I do that, when my focus is on the Lord, when I pray in tongues regularly, and when I read my Bible regularly, and when I come to church and I fellowship with you guys, and you with me, and we pray together, and when we go out and we practically make the kingdom of God come, I hear God's voice better. And for me, that's the ultimate, that's my faith goal for today. Is that we be honest with one another today and say, you know, I don't hear God's voice that well at the moment. Or I don't hear God's voice at all at the moment. And that means there's some things that we need to repent of. And for the practical purposes of this morning, repentance simply means to redirect your worship. It simply means to come to God and say, Lord, my worship was towards my sport or my career or my hobby or even good things like my family. My children became an obsession to me. Every time there's fear in my life, first of all, I don't run to you. I run to my dad, or I run to my wife, or I run to my boss, or I run to the bank manager, or I run to an idol. It is a good thing, but it should never be the ultimate thing. And I really trust that God comes in and He works with us in this morning, but just in the next season as well. And maybe there's a few amens here. Maybe God has already been challenging you in this. And it's such a beautiful thing for me. If you read the story about the rich young ruler, I read that story, and then I read on a commentary on that, where someone said that Jesus talked to that rich young ruler, and he helped him to identify the idol of money in his life, of riches. But then the guy goes on and he says, the reason why Jesus said at the end, you know, it's really hard for a rich man to get into heaven. It's it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He said it was a joke. Jesus made a funny. You know, and people theologically, they, you know, they try to work out that whole thing and everything. And whether that's true or not, whether the camel is actually a real camel that's got to go under a wall or whatever, it makes sense to me that Jesus would take something as serious as the talk of idols and money and finances and crack a joke to say, listen, people, don't take yourself so serious. You all have idols. Okay? But let's deal with that. Let's deal with that. Let's not joke about it, but let's joke about it. Let's say, you know, I've got a problem in my life. I watch too much television. This morning we had that domestic disturbance in our house where my little boy wanted to watch his television and he couldn't. And then his little demon manifested. And hopefully there's nobody from the media here. But we got that little demon right out of him this morning right there. Domestic disturbance solved. It was sorted. You know, our kids start with their little idols from this eye. And it's our responsibility as parents to get rid of the idols or at least manage them. Otherwise, they grow up with that. And you know, once again, I see myself in him. I see myself wanting to watch my stories. And my mom and my dad freaking out. It's history repeating itself. He's inheriting idols. You know, there's that story of Rachel in the Bible that stole her father's household idols. I was thinking about that this morning. That's what's happening here. So I'm asking God, my great-granddad didn't have a television. What was the root of this idol in our house? How are we going to get rid of this thing? This is a generational household god that is, I don't know. Okay, no, maybe that's not the truth. But what I'm saying is, as parents, we have to take responsibility for the things in our lives. And I mean, like I say, there is so many of the stuff in our lives. Repentance, Matthew 4 verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And like I said, that's all we need to do is, we make as if repentance is such a hard, difficult thing. This morning, I just want to challenge the church and say, repentance means we have to redirect our worship. We have to take the trust that we place in other stuff and in other people and in other things, and we have to say, Lord, I place that trust in you. Faith is simply the belief in the trust that we have in something or in someone. And if we say we have faith in God, then it means we believe in God and we trust in God. We trust in His kingdom. We trust in His character. We trust in His ways. We trust that what He says will happen. It is yes and it is amen. But our lives don't always model that. And God is challenging us and say, you must come in a lifestyle of cleansing your house. Get rid of your household idols. You are a temple of God now. I have bought you with a great price. And I am jealous of your worship. I want your worship. Because I know that when you worship me, the effect in your life will be marvelous. The way that you treat your wife will be different. The way that you treat your children will be different. The way that you motivate yourself at work or the work ethic that you live by, it will be different. Because you will allow the kingdom of God to manifest in those areas. The way that you run, the way that you cycle, the way that you gym, it will be different. Because you let the kingdom of God manifest in your life and through your life. God is challenging us with that this morning. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew 10:37. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus stepped into this earth and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He stepped into this earth and he says, I am going to show you how to redirect your worship. I am going to show you how to reprioritize, how you must deal with good things. He's not saying, you know, hate your father and your mother and hate your children and hate the money. He says, listen, you can't worship those things. You can't worship your father and your mother. You cannot give them, they cannot give you the security and the attention and the things that I can give you that is eternal, that you need from me. You need kingdom stuff. You need kingdom stuff that is eternal. The things of this earth is going to turn into dust in your hands. It cannot bring to you what I can give you. John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. In Habakkuk 2:14, and Marcus quoted it as well, it says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Do you guys remember our first conference that we had here, that the theme was missions and worship? We got that from John Piper, who said that missions exist because worship does not. And that we go into this world not just to convert people, but to make them worshipers. Worshipers of God. And that is our challenge. Whenever we disciple people, they should not cling to us. They should cling to Jesus. We should teach them to worship Jesus. Because if they worship us, or a church, or a movement, or whatever, ultimately, they will destroy themselves and that movement or church or person or whatever. Jesus is the only one that is worthy to be worshipped. Missions exist because worship does not. We have to go and we have to make worshippers. And we are only effective when we ourselves intimately worship the true and living God. Do you agree with me? We cannot muster from our willpower and our intellect the will and the ability to go and to make disciples. We'll burn out. We'll get frustrated. We'll get tired. But when we remain in worship, when we remain in that place where we spend time with our Lord, where things are fresh, we're effective. And may it be our heart's cry that the earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, that missions may decrease because worship has increased. There's always going to be missions until Jesus comes back. We just know that. But worship must increase. In Ezekiel 14:3, I actually started off with this. It says, son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of the iniquity before their faces. Should I indeed let myself be consulted by them? The same as those guys must have gone, idols? What idols? We don't see idols. We do the same. Say, Lord, idols? What idols? I don't see the idols. And we must be honest and say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to allow you to show me what are the things in my life that is taking time and energy, that is taking thought and focus, that is taking it away from your mission to let this kingdom come and to let your will be done. I'm going to be honest with you. Help me with that, Lord. I need you to come and bring a change in my life. In Romans 5:2-5, we did talk a little bit about faith. It says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. God wants us to manifest good works, because that's how we share in His glory. We cannot take His glory, but we can share in His glory. And we share in His glory when we do good works. And we do good works when we worship Him, when our lives are a worship statement. Then we bring Him glory. I don't think I've got verse 3 on there, but it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. This year we have talked a lot about suffering and trying to get a grasp on that. And one of the reasons why God allows suffering in our lives is to test our worship. Job has passed that with flying colors. Do you guys know Job? He's a guy in our church. No. He's very old and dead already. The Bible book. Job had trouble in his life, and what he did is he tore his clothes and he fell down and he worshipped. He expressed his emotions, but he fell down and he worshipped in tough times. And we have to ask ourselves, how do we respond in tough times? Do we respond with worship or with tantrum? Do we get cross and bitter at God? And many times we have to be honest and say, you know, God, this tough time has come into my life and it's testing the things and the foundations on which I build my faith. And through your grace, you have allowed this and you are showing me that my foundation is built on idolatry in many areas in my life. I'm standing with my one little toe on Jesus, but with the rest, I'm standing on other stuff. And now this is shaking, and in my emotions, Lord, I get frustrated and I get bitter and I get angry at you. And I get angry at people and I get angry at the church and I get angry at everybody. But the mature thing is to come back to God and say, God, I'm going to redirect my worship. I'm going to repent of this. I'm going to thank you for what you're doing in my life. Because you're saying, God, you are bringing endurance and you are bringing strength of character into my life. You are getting rid. You are helping me to get rid of my household idols. I thank you for that. Here in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 6. And I want us to just get ready to start talking to the Lord about this. Marcus, you guys can come to the stage. But he talks about testing ourselves. It says in verse 4, for he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this is about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he's brought them some hard words, and then he's saying, listen, I want you to test yourselves. Don't despair, don't feel condemned, but test yourself if whether you are in the faith. And God is so gracious to say that. Say, listen, test yourself. Because there will be a time that someone else or some other circumstance will test us. So he says, listen, get into that discipline of testing yourselves. And there's a few practical things. Where's the band? Oh, there's the band. I need some sound to to make my work easier as well. There's a few things I just wrote down that I want you to think about as we sit here, just by yourself. And then I want you to take the liberty, because the Bible says the saints must do the work of the ministry. I want you to take the liberty just to confess to someone today if there's an idol in your life. And I'm sure there is. But your motivation must not be to get rid of something. Your motivation must be to redirect your worship. So I trust the Holy Spirit to show you things, and maybe the Holy Spirit has already shown you things during the service, maybe even before I started talking. And there's an opportunity now to confess that before God. You know, when our focus is on our God who we worship, we will not be condemned. We will not be frustrated. Because the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. And God comes and He says, I'm good and I want to bring freedom to your life. I want you to see whatever it is that is over-promising and that is under-delivering in your life. And I want you to let go of that and grab onto me. That area of your life that has not been surrendered to me, bring it. Surrender it. God is dealing with me with certain things, and I'm actually surprised at what He's showing me. That there's anger issues in my life, for instance, and impatient issues in my life that is connected to idolatry. Some of them are family idols. That is connected to my selfishness and to the focus I have on myself to focus that. And it's stuff in my life that I've not handed over to Jesus yet. I've not given it to Him yet. I'm not saying, Lord, I want you to help me with this. I'm going to hand it over to you. So the first thing I want you to be honest about is, what do you think about the most when you are alone? It's just a practical thing. What's going on in your imagination? I was asking myself, How many times or how much do I think about missions and about the lost and about the people in need? How much do I think of ways to let the kingdom of God come in people's lives where it has not come yet? And I realized I'm not thinking about that a lot. I'm thinking about ways to make church work. Because I'm a pastor. But where's the compassion in my life? Because the moment you start thinking about the kingdom and the things of God, you start evaluating yourself compared to that and not to other things. So I want you to ask yourself, what is the key things in your imagination? Because it is one of the indications of what you are worshiping. And then obviously we talked about that, but how do you spend your money? How do you spend your time? With who do you spend your time? And it's simple things, people. It's not massive revelation. All it requires is that we be honest. And then the last thing is, how do you respond to unanswered prayers and frustrated hopes? So when you have prayed about something and that prayer is not answered immediately, how do you respond? Or if you are frustrated about promises in your life, how do you respond? Do you get angry at God? Is there bitterness welling up? Or can you say, you know, I'm just going to keep on praying. This isn't the end of the world. I'm going to be like Job and I'm going to worship God. I'm going to redirect my worship. So just for the next 5 minutes, talk to God about that, but be honest. You know? The doors are closed, so you can't smell the coffee. So hopefully that will not pull you to that side. But don't be in a rush to get out of here. Don't be religious about coming to church, getting a message, running out. The Holy Spirit wants to deal with us. Allow Him. But you speak to Him. You engage and you encounter with Him. And if you've got a tough time, you know, just engaging with God, feel free to raise your hand and ask someone to come and pray with you. Okay? You can come to the front as well. I'll pray with you. But for the next 5 minutes, just talk to the Lord. Just talk to Him and say, Lord, reveal in my life if there's things that I worship, but that worship is due You, Lord. It must go to You. Let's just do that. Invite you to come to the front like Umyan did just now. If you just want to confess towards someone and just come before God and bring it to the light. It's so powerful when we do that. And then I want to invite people who at the moment you struggle to hear God's voice. Maybe it's some other reason. But we want to pray with you. We want to trust God just to unblock that place in your life where you maybe struggle to pray in the Spirit or you struggle to read the Word. it's not alive to you. You struggle with that. We want to pray with you. And then thirdly, I want to pray with people who has not met Jesus yet. That's why we're here. We want to allow the kingdom of God to come into your life. Give you an opportunity to pray with you that the kingdom of God comes in your life. So we're going to stand. You may stand. And as we're going to end off with this worship song, I pray that you come to the front. And I just want to ask some of the small group facilitators and some of the counselors, if you can already come to the front, you know, just come and stand here and worship that way. Don't worship the people. But just for people to see, listen, they can come to you for prayer. And then if you want to just make things right with the Lord Jesus, I want you to come to this side. You know, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just come to this side and we'd like to pray with you. All right. Okay, and then the people that struggle to hear God's voice, if you can come and stand right here in front of the little platform. Okay, Mac will meet you here. He will pray with you. So we've got three groups. People who want to meet Jesus, people who struggle to hear God's voice, and if you just want to confess something to the Lord, then you just come to this side. Okay. So we're going to worship God. I'm going to close in prayer. Please just respond to the worship as well now. It's a prayer as well. So before you go, just worship. Worship with us and sing this prayer to the Lord. Okay. Father God, we want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you, Lord, for your truth, Lord, that is so challenging, Lord. But Lord, we want to thank you that you are so gentle with us, your children, Lord, and that you love us so much, Lord. And God, we want to thank you that you come, Lord, and with your word, Lord, you come and polish, Lord, those areas in our lives, Father God, Lord, that is not shining your glory back to you, Lord. We want to bring it to you, God, and we thank you that you, the helper, come, Lord, and that you cleanse us and that you set us free. We glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you very much.